The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Third hour, Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Thanks so much for joining us. In the next segment, news breaking in the political world here in Colorado. Just this morning, originally at FoxNews.com, Colorado Politics is a story now. We will interview the subject of this news story, that is, newly announced candidate for U.S. Senate to challenge Michael Bennett, Eli Bremmer, will join us coming up soon about his big announcement just put out early this morning. He is 2008 Olympian in Beijing, and well, we'll do a full introduction to find out why he's running for the U.S. Senate coming up in just a little bit. But when it comes to elections, a couple of things need to happen. One, Republicans need to be strategic. Need to keep the eye on the ball, need to be smart about how they approach things. For example, I refer to my column I just walked through a little bit. New column out today at Colorado Politics. Ending GOP primary would backfire, expressing why, as I just talked about, I don't like the idea of open primaries. I've opposed them in the beginning, still oppose them now. But opting out would have unintended consequences, opting out of primaries altogether, that would be deeply problematic for the GOP and I think severely set us back in this state. But in addition to being strategic in many ways, you also need to have ideas, a plan, a vision for moving forward and what we can achieve in the great state of Colorado. That's why I really liked seeing the news about the commitment to Colorado announced yesterday by the Colorado Republican Party in concert with Republican leaders in the state legislature and Michael Fields of Colorado Rising Action. What is the commitment to Colorado and what does it say about where the Republican Party is at in terms of their vision moving forward? So great to welcome back to the Peter Boyles Show regulars on this program, good friends of mine, the chairwoman of the Colorado Republican Party, Christy Burton Brown, and Priscilla Ron, the party's vice chair. Ladies, good morning. Welcome back.
Morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Great to talk with you both, and congratulations on this big announcement of the commitment to Colorado. Christy, what is this commitment? It does remind me sort of of the contract with America that was so powerful back in 1994 when you and I were both kids, by the way. What was the impetus for this commitment to Colorado, and what is it?
Yeah, this commitment to Colorado, which, by the way, everyone can find it and read it for themselves if you go to commitment to, it's the number 2, Colorado.com. And this commitment lays out a very clear vision, plan. Here's what the Republicans stand for in Colorado. Here's what we would deliver on if we are elected to majorities in 2022. And, Jimmy, I think the three most important things on there, I mean, they're all important or they wouldn't be there. We're calling them the big three. You're going to hear our candidates talk about this all around the state, and it's make Colorado affordable, prioritize public safety, and expand educational choice. Those are three absolutely key issues here in Colorado that people are talking about, people care about, and we're the party that's going to deliver on that.
Why a commitment to Colorado, Christy? What is the basis for saying, here's what Republicans are rallying behind as far as a vision for moving forward?
Because we are the party, Jimmy, that has to have better solutions for the future of Colorado. And we're making a commitment to Colorado, and we want to, you know, change the narrative the media and the Democrats always throw on us. Oh, Republicans don't care. Yes, we do. We are the party that cares about the average, everyday, working class family, families like the one I grew up in. And this is a commitment, something we're going to work with the people of Colorado to accomplish together.
Priscilla Ron, vice chair of the Colorado GOP. One thing that I appreciate about this sort of vision is that when we're in a state like Colorado, where, let's be honest, Republicans aren't positioned very well in the legislature or in our statewide government, you need to actually put something proactive out there. What do you make of the idea that we have here with the Republican Party all coming together and saying, hey, this is a vision that we want to put forward for the people of Colorado because we want to show that we're taking initiative and not just, you know, sitting back and hoping that at some point we're going to let the world come to us or something. I don't know what the alternative would be.
Absolutely. One of the questions that was asked at the press conference yesterday was, you know, with the majority of voters in Colorado being unaffiliated, how does this talk to them? And actually, a lot of these points came from polling unaffiliated voters, because what we're seeing is that people are tired of the partisan bickering. They want solutions, and they're desperate for a party to come forth with legislation that makes sense. And this is what we're delivering on, and we're not afraid of accountability. We generally haven't had the luxury of having a lot of media on our side. And so we're being extremely proactive. We've been listening. It's been great being on Peter's show to listen to what everyday voters are saying they want to see from us, and we're taking on that challenge by the bullhorns.
And Priscilla, you are a public school teacher as your day job, and I want to ask you about the educational component, because parents are so frustrated with what's been going on in Colorado and want to be able to have that power for their own kids' quality education.
Absolutely. I'll be starting my 28th year in public education as a teacher and former principal. And, you know, what I've been telling people is I can no longer defend a government-run system that has created the issues, the disparities, the lack of education that has been taking place in America. I'm not going to defend a system that doesn't work. But what does work is putting the power back in the hands of parents and saying, you know what, if we're not delivering on our promises as a public school system, then you need to have the tools and the resources to make sure that your child gets the high quality, rigorous education that they deserve. And so that's what we're committed to doing.
Christy Burton Brown, again, chair of the Colorado GOP. It seems to me when you're talking about politicians who have their own, things that they want to accomplish and so forth, it can be like herding cats to get people together. What was the sort of behind the scenes way of gathering and saying, look, we need to have something that we're rallying behind on a unified basis for the people of Colorado?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jimmy. And I think that is what's very special about this commitment to Colorado. It's not just the state party coming in and making this promise. When we did our press conference yesterday, we had leaders in our state Senate, our state House, those caucuses are backing this and pushing this out there, that we're going to see them run bills in next legislative session that back up these priorities with action. And, you know, I think we just all actually want to be on the same page as Republicans, play out of the same playbook. It's what the Democrats do all the time. And I think we need to speak with one unified voice about these issues that are deeply rooted in our party, prioritizing public safety, expanding educational opportunity, and making Colorado affordable. I mean, honestly, when you think about it, it's not hard to get behind those things because it is what the people of Colorado want. I think we saw Republicans, as we were getting this ready all across the state, who are in elected positions, grassroots, people from every wing of the party say, you know what? We do need to make 2022 a Colorado-centric year, where we are talking about the issues that everyday Coloradans are dealing with. And that's what this is.
Well, and Christy, I appreciate the prioritization of public safety, because we've seen violent crime rise, especially in the Denver metro area, but also different forms of theft. As you both well know, I was a two-time victim of auto theft last year. And then when I got a new car within a couple of months, that was already vandalized. And that is a top of mind concern among Coloradans, especially as we see the growing push from the left, Christy, for defunding the police.
Oh, 100%, Jimmy. That, you know, it may be the issue of the election in 2022 here in Colorado. And one of the real problems with the spike in crime is also the fact that we have a lot of police officers and deputies around the state resigning because of the legislation the Democrats ran through last session that does not let our police officers do their job and keep our families safe. In Aurora, 150 police officers have resigned in the last year and a half, 17 in Arvada, 17 in Golden, 3 in a small mountain county that I was visiting, which is huge for their community. And we see murder spiking, violent crime spiking. And what's really interesting is this is what voters of all kinds are talking about. Our Aurora City Council candidates, they're knocking on every door, unaffiliated, Democrats, Republicans, and every person is bringing up crime. They're saying that what they're afraid about is the shots. The gunshots they are hearing every night when they're trying to put their children to bed.
I know. It really is tragic. I want to share a text that I'm very pleased with. I just got on the site. That is commitment2colorado.com. Just got on the site, listener text in, submitted my info, will change from independent to Republican because of these ladies. Christy, your reaction.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you. And that's exactly what this is designed to do, to show our unaffiliated, independent swing voters in Colorado, we are the party that's going to tackle these issues and fight for the things that average families in Colorado finally want to see politicians actually take care of and do something about, bring solutions for our state's future.
Priscilla Ron, Vice Chair of the Colorado Republican Party. We're talking with both Chairwoman Christy Burton Brown and Vice Chair Priscilla Ron. The affordability question is so critical. I mean, I see housing prices and the price of rent and so forth just constantly rising. We see, gosh, in this Biden economy, in the last hour we had a bumper for B.B. King, the late great King of the Blues, and his tune Inflation Blues, which I think coming from the grave is the anthem of the Biden economy right now, where we see the price of everything seeming to rise. A lot of Coloradans right now are struggling when it comes to affordability. What do you think about including that sort of thing in the agenda of the GOP?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you bring that up because as we're looking at redistricting and we're looking at the economy of all of the counties across Colorado, and a lot of people don't know that 51% of the residents in Denver County are renters. When you have 51% of people who don't own property, that's an issue. Another hat I wear is I'm on the Douglas County Planning Commission. So every other week, we're talking about affordability of our county. We're talking about issues like water and home building and construction. And these are issues that impact people every single day, which is why we're tackling that in our commitment to make Colorado affordable. I'm a public school teacher. It's extremely difficult for public school teachers to even afford to live in the district where they teach.
Right.
So it's time that we address these issues to have common sense solutions so that people can afford to live here. I just spent almost $70 putting gas in my car at the press conference yesterday. It's ridiculous. And so these are the failed policies of the Democrats that we need to address and call out by name so that we can actually bring solutions.
Priscilla, you brought up gas. My parents were just in upstate New York, and believe it or not, it was like 40 cents cheaper for gas in Albany than in Denver, which they've never seen before in their entire lives.
It doesn't make sense.
There's an attack on oil and gas in this state, Christy Burton Brown. That dovetails in with number 6, which a listener was asking about, which is the war on rural Colorado. Of course, neither of you are policymakers. You are putting forward sort of a bold vision in tandem with policymakers in the legislature at the press conference. But when it comes to oil and gas and other attacks on rural Colorado agriculture and what have you, what do you think might actually be done or proposed to address this issue? And what can you tell us about the Republican vision on rural Colorado, Christy?
You know, Jimmy, that's a really important part of this commitment to Colorado. The Democrats are working overtime to kick the industries that built Colorado out of our state. That is the energy industry. It is the agricultural industry. And we're going to be the party that stands up for farmers and ranchers. You know, there's going to be some solutions on water that our people can propose. That's key to agriculture in the state. And also just ways of making sure that the rural voice is heard more. It is drowned out at the Capitol. Whether we're talking about ballot initiatives like the PAWS Act that was tried, the WOOF reintroduction, Denver, Boulder, the liberals here in Metro Colorado drown out the voice of rural Colorado. There are bills the legislature could run to curb that, to give more of a voice to rural Colorado. And I am going to let our legislators announce what they're going to do, because I'd like everyone to understand the commitment to Colorado. We're going to be building on this. We're going to see legislators propose bills to accomplish some of these solutions next session. We're going to see candidates put out proposals, policy proposals on how to implement this. And we're going to tell stories on how every single one of these issues has a face and a real live person behind it and how they're affected here in Colorado. So all that is yet to come, Jimmy.
We have a U.S. Senator in John Hickenlooper, Christy Burton Brown, who called rural Colorado backwards at one point, who clearly dissed during the last campaign cycle against Cory Gardner, dissed rural communities. And I think a lot of times those of us who live on the Front Range, especially in the Denver metro area, sort of lose sight of that and the impact that these policies and this sort of snobbish approach toward rural Colorado can really have on other parts of the state.
Oh, yeah, it's extremely damaging. I mean, Colorado is not only one city, one county. We're a very diverse state. And, you know, in my first 4 months as chairman, I've traveled to 45 out of 64 of the counties, many of them rural counties. And what we have to do is remember that when a portion of Colorado loses its voice, we all lose out. And people don't even realize how much oil and gas dollars, for example, fund education for our children here in Colorado. It's interconnected, and people can't lose. I don't think people lose sight of that. I think the Democrats who control our state have lost sight of that. And that's why we as Republicans are putting out this commitment to Colorado. We understand how our state is interconnected, and we're going to listen to everyone and promote the voice of every single sector here in Colorado.
Priscilla, you are newer into politics and the way of the political world, and I'm curious about sort of your insights relative to the commitment to Colorado, what you're seeing from the Republican Party right now in this approach, and from the concerns of everyday Coloradans, from educators, from parents, the list goes on, about the state of affairs that we're in right now, big picture, because it seems to me whether it's politics, the economy, society, we've got a lot of areas of concern where people in this state are just like, man, sometimes I want to tear the hair out of my head because I'm just so going crazy because of everything.
Well, I have two thoughts. One is, I think I represent what our government is all about, and it's we the people. You know, I think a lot of people who are seeing the destruction of our state, who want to do something, may feel like they don't have like the political savvy to run for a local office or make a difference. And I want to tell them that everybody's voice matters, and this is how government is supposed to run, is we the people. And so I was embraced by the party to be a part of the change and the solution. Mm-hmm. That's my first thought. My other thought is, when you're a public school teacher, and I've taught and studied all around the world, and you meet people from different religions, different philosophical backgrounds, it makes you understand that the world is a big place, and there's space and there's room for every thought. And that's what we stand up for as Republicans, is freedom and individuality. And so that's what our commitment reflects, is
right,
that importance of people being free. And we're all constitutionalists, and we need to defend the Constitution, and we need to remind our elected officials about the proper role of government. And that's what I stand up for, and that's what I teach. And there's no better ecosystem to practice that than in public education, because,
yeah,
you know, we have to be solution-minded, and we have to be collaborative.
Commitment, the number 2colorado.com is the place to go to see for yourself the commitment to Colorado. I have one final question for you, Christy Burton Brown. Without getting into specifics of any candidates, we're going to have Eli Bremmer in the next segment, who just announced today that he's running for United States Senate. Michael Bennett, do you think that he's vulnerable? What can you tell us very briefly about Bennett in 2022?
Oh, 1,000,000%. Michael Bennett is absolutely the accidental senator here in Colorado. And he's been here in office for 12 years. And what has he done for Colorado? That's one of his biggest vulnerabilities. He has not delivered for Colorado. He lives in D.C. He, you know, posts pictures of himself by a tractor that doesn't even drive, pretending that Joe Biden tracked him down in the field. He is a Washington elitist, and his name ID isn't even high. And yet he's been the senator for 12 years. You ask the average person, hey, do you know who Michael Bennett is? They're like, who are you talking about?
Yeah.
it is a perfect opportunity for a strong Republican candidate who can deliver on better solutions for our future to run for office and defeat Michael Bennett. He is so vulnerable. We are thrilled about taking on this race.
He's boring Bennett. The only time he ever had any sort of passion was that one time on the floor of the U.S. Senate where he was filled with such sanctimony, and it was clearly and ended up being first foray on the national stage in order to run for president, and that was a flop. Okay. Text coming in from Alexa. I appreciate KBB's Christy Burton Brown's tweets. She is coming out to be a fighter like Lauren Boebert. Keep up the fight, Christy and Priscilla. On that note, chairwoman of the Colorado GOP, Christy Burton Brown, and vice chair Priscilla Ron, indeed, keep up the good work. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Once again, Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron joining us for their regular check-in on the Peter Boyles Show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Colorado Radio exclusive first radio interview with Eli Bremmer, just announced candidate for United States Senate. Keep it right here again. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles on News Talk 710 KNUS. Coming back, Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles this morning, News Talk 710 KNUS. My thanks to Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron, the ladies from the Colorado GOP, for returning to the Peter Boyles Show. I know Peter loves checking in with them, and it's funny because I wanted to have Christy on anyway about the commitment to Colorado, and it just so happened to be the day that they were supposed to come on for their regular check-in with Peter. I appreciate that kind of leadership in terms of bringing Republicans together, having a press conference and saying we've got some unified goals and visions that we're standing behind because we need more of that. We need more strategy as well in the GOP. Jimmy Sangenberger once again in for Peter Boyles, and just breaking this morning, first on FoxNews.com, then over at Colorado Politics. There's a new candidate vying to defeat Boring Bennett. That is Michael Bennett, U.S. Senator for Colorado, the so-called senior senator. Eli Bremmer in 2008 competed in the Olympics in Beijing as a pentathlete, and now he is ready to compete against Michael Bennett, who I believe is the founder of the Olympics Caucus in the U.S. Senate. Eli Bremmer joins us now for his very first radio interview as an officially announced candidate for the United States Senate. Eli, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Jimmy. Thanks for having me on. It's always great to talk to you on or off the air, which we do fairly frequently. So appreciate all you do.
Well, I appreciate it. And I got to know you a bit when we were covering the story of the Olympics, and specifically the reform efforts that you, Senator Cory Gardner, Judge Aquilina, who was a sentencing judge for Larry Nassar and others, were really trying to reform and successfully did pass legislation in Congress to do that, to reform the Olympics. And we'll talk about that in a moment, but let me just cut right to it. Who is Eli Bremmer and why are you running for the United States Senate against Michael Bennett?
Well, Jimmy, I am running for Michael Bennett because I've watched what Michael Bennett has done, and he has done absolutely nothing for our state. And you know what, Jimmy? Incidentally, a lot of this started during that Olympic reform when I actually was able to work with Congresswoman Diana DeGette, with whom I have many political disagreements. She was holding the gavel on the impeachment of Trump, and I was very opposed to that impeachment. But brought her and Senator Gardner together. We were able to work for a solution. And then I found out that Michael Bennett was the founding chair of the Olympic Caucus, and he never lifted a finger, never started. This should have been the easiest layup to help the victims of the Nassar scandal get justice and fix the system. And the more I started looking at this guy, Jimmy, the more I realized I shouldn't be offended that he didn't want to help them. Because this is just what he does. You know, in 12 years, he's passed one piece of legislation into law. This is a guy who's not looking for solutions to our state and instead just marks time. He toes the party line. He's basically a whip for the Democrats in the Senate and is responsible for a lot of these policies that are hitting us very hard at home. The increased gas prices, the issues with wildfires in the western states. He doesn't attack issues that mean anything to Colorado. And I said, you know what? It's time for a new kind of Republican who comes out and actually works on these issues that are important to Coloradans in America, and that's what we're going to do.
I call him Boring Bennett because I see no passion or enthusiasm from him, and to me there's no surprise that he has only passed one piece of legislation and is simply a toady for the Democratic Party, Eli, because when we see a United States senator who is so ineffective from a leadership standpoint, you can't find somebody who's more visible in that regard than Boring Bennett.
That's completely right. I mean, he's the senior senator from the state, and yet nobody in the state actually knows who he is. He ran for president. A lot of people have forgotten about this, or they didn't know it in the first place. You know, he took several million dollars and went tracing around the state and ran for president. And that was actually during the time, Jimmy, that I was working with Congresswoman DeGette and Senator Gardner to pass meaningful reform, not just in Olympic systems, but Jimmy, this impacts millions of young people, particularly girls, across all youth systems because it helps protect them from sexual predators. That's an important piece of legislation. It's not partisan. And he said, well, I don't want to be partisan, which is funny because then he goes off and he basically is in lockstep with the Democratic leadership and people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So he's never picked these issues and worked on these issues that can actually move the needle inside Colorado.
You mentioned the Olympics. One thing that we have seen in the Olympics and in sports and in society is the growth of wokeism. And Eli Bremmer, I am fed up with this mentality of let's focus on virtue signaling. Let's focus on playing the wokeism game. It's gone way too far in so many aspects of our society. From what we've seen from the Olympics and in sports and so forth, what do you make of that? And do you think that there's something bigger going on, a more significant picture than just, oh, this is a cultural war issue that's sort of tangential to the real substantive issues that are impacting people's daily lives?
Jimmy, I think that the wokeism you're seeing in the Olympics is a symptom of a greater cancer that's going through society. And, you know, that cancer is actually led, this is going to get kind of technical here, it's led by Marxist thought process and Marxist ideology. I'm good friends with Lieutenant Colonel Matt Lohmeyer, who is the colonel who was fired from Space Force for saying, hey, wait a second, we're starting to teach Marxist ideology in the military. Marxism is extremely dangerous. I've traveled extensively in countries that were taken over by Marxist ideology, and they are a disaster. Highly impoverished. Their environments are a disaster. That's where a lot of global pollution, particularly pollution that goes into the ocean, comes from the countries that adopted that methodology. And it is becoming accepted in the U.S. And Marxism and socialism destroys everything it touches. You got to see that on full display with athletes at the Olympics who were so tone deaf that they were kneeling to protest the American flag. And in the same competition, you had Cubans, many of them dark-skinned black Cubans, who were going home to an oppressive socialist regime that the American athletes were saying is better than the free country we live in. This is a horrible problem. It definitely hurt the Olympics. It's hurting America. We have a problem inside our country, and we're going to have to address this one head-on.
Again, we're talking with Eli Bremmer, just announced candidate for the U.S. Senate on the Republican side against Michael Bennett. We have a issue in Washington, D.C. of massive overspending that has been happening under, frankly, both Republican and Democrat presidents for far too long. And now on the verge of passage in a so-called bipartisan effort, we have a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill that also sets the stage for the Democrats to pass a $3.5 trillion bill in reconciliation that they can do without Republican vote. What is your take on infrastructure and reconciliation at this time where in D.C. that's what's moving at pace?
Well, Jimmy, on the infrastructure bill, I have not read it yet. It's about 2,700 pages from what I understand. And so I'll talk more in principles than in practice. First of all, we do have an infrastructure problem. Incidentally, we have massive infrastructure problems, largely in blue states. California's dam system is a mess. And in Colorado, we definitely have major roads problems. But I'm extremely and deeply concerned that trillions is the new billions, and people are throwing this around like it's nothing. My undergraduate academic studies were in economics. I stay up with economic literature, and I will tell you there is no thoughtful person that will tell you that pumping trillions upon trillions of dollars into the economy right now is a good idea. 6 months ago, the Democrats said we need to do it. Don't worry, it won't cost inflation. Now they're trying to say that when you pay 50% more at the pump and the cost of buying a house has gone up 30%, that that's not inflation. Let me tell you something. That's the definition of inflation. We have to stop this out of control spending. And one of the problems we see right now is that we have single party control in D.C. The Democrats have tried to get rid of the filibuster so they can be in a permanent majority, make Washington, D.C. a state. Incidentally, Michael Bennett, the senator from Colorado, has supported making Washington, D.C. a state. That's where he grew up. Maybe he should actually go out there and run as a D.C. senator because that's how he supports them. But, Jimmy, we've got to get this spending out of control, and the only way we're ever going to get out of this is by inflationary practices. That also, I'm a 14-year veteran of the Air Force. That also puts our national security at risk because those bonds are being bought up by the Chinese and other countries, and that puts us very beholden to other countries who hold massive amounts of our debt as currency.
Eli Bremmer, again, our guest, Jimmy Sengenberger, in for Peter Boyles. In terms of the big picture right now, when we've got politics in D.C. controlled by the Democrats, but always you've got, and you mentioned this at the top, you were talking about working with Diana DeGette and Cory Gardner to get through the Olympic reform legislation. However, we look at the infrastructure bill and they highlight it as, oh, this is bipartisan. Spending $1.2 trillion has some Republicans who are behind it. There are listeners who are concerned. They were talking about this yesterday saying, what good is a Republican Senate if we don't have Republicans willing to stand up and fight?
That's a really good question, Jimmy, and people are rightfully concerned. The reason it matters is there's a saying that the first vote you take is the most important, because if you have a Republican-controlled Senate in this case, that bill never makes it to the floor. And so Senate negotiations are often about who's able to bring things to the floor, and once it's there, how much can they railroad through? And so if you have a Republican-controlled House, which I think we're going to get in 2 years, I think Kevin McCarthy is going to be the Speaker of the House again, in a Republican-controlled Senate, Biden cannot keep on pushing this multi-trillion-dollar impact. The reality is, Jimmy, and this is controversial. I think there's people who are on talk shows who would disagree with this, but majorities matter. Even if your majority isn't held by people that look exactly like you do politically, it's important to have the majority, because when you have the majority, you can block the other party's bad legislation that comes forward. Right now, we don't have the ability to do that. And so you're going to see bad legislation. There are people that look at that and say, okay, if we can temper the bad legislation and make it less toxic, then that's a good thing. And that's why sometimes you're going to see Republicans defect on that sort of legislation. But until we earn the majority back, we're going to be in a situation where the question is not, is there bad legislation? The question is, how bad is the legislation going to be?
If you become the Republican nominee for the United States Senate, Eli Bremmer, what kind of campaign will you want to bring against Michael Bennett? Because people are tired, I think, especially in our listening audience, but people all across Colorado are tired of candidates for office who are not willing to fight, not willing to push back decisively.
Well, Jimmy, I think if you know me for a while, probably one of the first terms that people use when they talk about me is fighter. Don't expect a leopard to change his spots. It's an old saying. I'm the guy who took on a very corrupt U.S. Olympic system. Cost me dearly. I lost a job over it. My family's been attacked. And I did that because it was the right thing for America. It was the right thing for our country to do. I've been willing to take on Democrats, and I've been willing to take on Republicans. With me, you don't have to guess that I'm a fighter. I have a long history of that. I've been working in the political sphere for a number of years. I've raised money for a lot of really tough races around the country for marquee candidates who needed some help. One of the problems we have is we have people come into politics and say they're going to do something, and we don't really know them. In my case, I'm a pretty well-known guy, and everybody who knows me knows I'm going to work my little tail off, and that I'm going to go straight after Michael Bennett. We're not even going to take a look side to side, because we believe with a really good fight, we can win back the Senate seat. And Jimmy, let me tell you something. When I win the Colorado Senate seat, the United States Senate will be a Republican-controlled Senate, and then we will not be talking about trillion-dollar infrastructure packages that are pork-laden.
Eli Bremer, we're just about out of time here, but what's a final message or anything that we haven't covered yet? And this is just a first introductory. I'm sure we will talk again in the future. You just announced today, but anything else that folks you want folks to know on this first day of your campaign?
Well, we are coming out of the gate strong. I'm thrilled that we have so much support nationally and across the state of Colorado. We would like everyone to join our team. Get on board. We are looking squarely at U.S. Senator Michael Bennet. He's been ineffective in office. You can find information at eliforcolorado.com. What's eliforcolorado.com. If you want to join our team, we're looking for donors. We're looking for volunteers. We are hitting the ground running because, Jimmy, a lot of candidates in Colorado have made the mistake of starting too late, starting their campaigns, you know, really getting geared up in the spring. We're coming out with both guns blazing because we intend to take Michael Bennet out next November.
Final question. I like this one from a listener texting in on the 710 KNUS app. Past or present, who's a U.S. senator that you admire?
Oh, that's an easy one. Ben Nighthorse Campbell. I wouldn't be where I am today without Senator Campbell. I love the fact that he actually started as a Democrat and then became a Republican. There's this mantra that everybody thinks you become more liberal when you go to Washington, D.C. Ben was also a stud. He represented the United States in the Olympics in 1964 in the sport of judo. He was an Air Force veteran like me, and he's been a longtime mentor of mine. In fact, without him, I wouldn't have gone to the Air Force Academy. So this is actually Senator Campbell's former seat, and should I be able to win this seat, those are the shoes I look at walking in. I'll do what he did. I'll take on the right issues. He was also able to work with Democrats on common sense issues that conservatives could score wins on by bringing Democrats on board. So if you want to know what I'll be like, look at Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell. Mm-hmm. And he is the man I respect the most who's held the seat.
Well, we just got a cool emoji back. So I guess this listener liked that answer. Eli Bremer, we will talk again down the line, get into more substantive discussions and whatnot. But good to have you on for your first radio interview. I appreciate you joining us today.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
Eli4Colorado.com is what he said the website is. Eli Bremer, just announced candidate for the U.S. Senate against Michael Bennet, joining us here on 710 KNUS. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles. We got to take a quick break. We will be back with more on the other side. News Talk 710 KNUS. Welcome back. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles, wrapping up this, the third hour of the show. And let me tell you, the time is absolutely flying by. I cannot believe next hour will be the fourth one and final one of the day. We've got Michael Hiltzik from the LA Times coming up. He's a lefty. Should be fun. Will be an interesting conversation. Keep it right here on 710 KNUS. But it's that time of the morning where we check in with our friends at Alpine Planning Group. And we've got Brian Gray on this morning. Good morning, Brian. How the heck are you?
Hey, good morning, Jimmy. Haven't talked to you in a while. How things have been going, sir?
You know, going pretty darn well. It's good to be here talking to you. And on Sunday, I saw my first Red Rocks concert. It was Joe Bonamassa. First one since before the pandemic. It was great.
Well, get into them because it seems like as we move farther and farther down the road, we got more and more mass closures. But
I hope not.
I guess we just have to wait and see what happens there, huh?
How are the markets looking, though?
Markets are looking kind of timid right now. They're calm as investors are looking for clues from the Federal Reserve right now about plans to ease some of this stimulus that's going into the market. There's two speeches today from Federal Reserve individuals. Hopefully, we're looking to see when the central bank is going to start tapering some of this economic support. That'll give your big institutional investors some opportunity to start planning for the next 6 months to a month down the road, or 6 months to a year down the road. as we take a look at the markets right now, we got the Dow basically flat. It's up 25 points. S&P 500's up 6. And then the NASDAQ is up about 24 points. So we really haven't seen any activity yet. Two companies that are coming out today with some interesting earnings. The cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase Global, they're going to be announcing their earnings. And the software firm McAfee, lost my notes there, software firm McAfee, they're set to release their earnings later at the end of the day as well. So two companies that could have a potential pretty big kick on the market tomorrow. And then let me close it with this, because I was just down in Florida not too long ago. The cruise industry, right now Norwegian giant, they secured a huge win in federal court, allowing it to require passengers to show proof of COVID-19 vaccination. Now, the governor down there, DeSantis, he is vowing to appeal the ruling. Right. Other cruise companies are taking a look at this, and they're assessing or assessing their own situation. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, Jimmy, down there in South Florida where the boats come in and dock,
right,
there are a ton of people looking for work. So this could be a pretty big ruling for Norwegian. To get people, get the cruise industries back in line.
We will see.
But there's going to be some restrictions and some stipulations with it. So if you want to get to know us a little bit better, give Alpine Planning Group a call. We'd love to sit down and talk with you and see if we can be of assistance.
Absolutely, my friend. Brian Gray joining us. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term success. Investing is a matter of trust, and they are prepared to earn yours. Call them at 303-843-0918 today. Brian, have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Time now for the top of the hour break. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles. We've got one more hour up ahead. Coming up with Michael Hiltzik of the LA Times. You don't want to miss this. Keep it right here. News Talk 710 KNUS.